Howdy, folks. Today, we are going to be talking about James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. And we are building upon the things that we've been talking about in the context. Verses 23 and 24 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." We are talking here essentially about people that just don't honestly see themselves the way that they are. That when the scriptures are presented to them, they do not reflect upon them and see themselves exposed in the manner from which God's word shows them. You think about examples in the Bible, and we'll talk about a few that show this out. Like, for example, the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 says the angel, or meaning the messenger of the church, this is starting at Revelation 3:14. "Under the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot." See, God, specifically here, Jesus speaking, his deity, and I think you know that. He would rather you be in or out. He says in verse 16, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Like our Lord saying, you people who are fence riders make me want to vomit. Verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me of gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness doth appear, and anoint thyself with eyesalve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." You see, they were blind. They convinced themselves that they were doing well physically, and because they were doing well physically, that they were in a good position spiritually. Now, this brings to mind an Old Testament example that those who sometimes know God's will and refuse to do it sometimes do so because they convince themselves that they are better off than God's will actually indicates. I got a little bit of a lengthier reading for us here. Jeremiah chapter 44. We are going to start at verse 1. And we are going to go down through verse 23. So Jeremiah chapter 44, 1 through 23. Says this, "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt." And let me just stop here. If you're reading through the book of Jeremiah, you would see in Jeremiah chapter 42 that there were those who had fled to Egypt that were not supposed to. I will get to what they were supposed to do. Let me remind myself here. Let me make a quick note. We'll get to what they were supposed to do. But they had fled to Egypt instead of doing what God wanted, which was to go to captivity at the hands of the Chaldean. So again, let me restart at Jeremiah 44. "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwelt in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Midgol and Tahpenes and Noph in the country of Pathros, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. because of their wickedness, which they have committed, to provoke me to anger, and that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early, sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and my anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah, and the streets of Jerusalem. They are wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, and that you provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whether ye be gone to dwell, that you might cut yourselves off, that you might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? So just think about this. I'm going to keep reading, but think about this. And he be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He is like a man beholding his natural face in the mirror, beholding himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner. Isn't this what you're seeing? That God is asking them, have you forgotten your wickedness? That's what we're seeing, right? So in verse 10, they are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. So here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. They've heard God's word. The prophets have been sent. They have showed them who they were and the evil of their deeds. And after they heard, they forgot. They went their own way. They didn't consider. Which kept them, remember our context, being doers of the word and not hearers only, kept them from being doers because they had a forgetful ear. Now verse 11, Jeremiah 44. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, to cut off all Judah. I will take the remnant of Judah, that have set their faces to go in the land of Egypt to sojourn there. They shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even to the greatest by sword and by famine. And they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone to the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return to the land of Judah, to the which they desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return but such as shall escape. Then all the men, which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, Pathros against Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Look at that mindset of disobedience. They heard and refused. Verse 17, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. Notice what they did. To burn incense unto the queen of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we know there's no queen of heaven. It's like Catholics that worship Mary, right? To pour out drink offering unto her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings, our princes in the city of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offering unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword, by the famine.
And we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink off her. Did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drinks off her without our men? So think that. Think about this. It's like we read in Laodicea. They have seen, they've heard, and they convinced themselves. When they stopped worshiping the Queen of Heaven, this is their perception. This is their the way that they forgetteth what manner of man they are. They think because they left off their offerings to the Queen of Heaven, that's when they began to suffer. So they've convinced themselves that idolatry was their deliverer, not God. They heard God's word and convinced themselves of something else. There's the dishonesty of this. So in verse 20, Jeremiah said to all the people, and to the men and the women and all the people which had given them that answer, saying that ye burned in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings, your princes, people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? Came it not into his mind so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, because of the abominations which you've committed? Therefore is your land a desolation, an astonishment, and a curse without an inhabitant as it is today. Because ye burn incense, and because ye sin against the Lord, and not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore, this evil has happened to you as unto this day. See, people hear God's word, and what prevents them from being doers is often this dishonesty that we're talking about now. They forget what they see. And that's a choice. It's not some kind of physical problem or mental issue where they just don't have the ability of proper recollection. It's, I don't like what I saw. I'm going to choose some other conclusion, and I'm going to follow that. I had mentioned that God wanted them to go into captivity. And this is the will of God that they had rejected. Now I want to give you that. In Jeremiah 24, and I want you to think about this. When we read through Jeremiah 24, 1 through 10, this is what you're going to see. God's punishing them. He's going to send them to captivity. Jeremiah later says this for 70 years. And this is going to be a punishment. But if they go through with God's punishment, it's a lot better than the choice they ended up making to flee into Egypt. They're not going to die of the sword, the pestilence, and famine. They can go into the land of Chaldea. They can go into Babylonian captivity and be the better for it, even though it's a punishment. So in Jeremiah 24, 1 through 10, these are the words. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. The other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, they cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I've sent out of this place into the land of Chaldeans for their good. For I set my eye upon them for good. I will bring them again to this land and will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely saith the Lord, so I will give Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. I will deliver them and be removed, and all kings of the earth for their heart to be a reproach, a proverb, a taunt, a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. I will send the sword, the famine, the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. God warned them. if you flee from my punishment, which is actually for your good, then you're going to pay for that. Well, guess what? People see what they want to see. They hear God's word, and they choose to see themselves the way they want to see themselves rather than what God's word actually tells them. You know what? God tells us that every way of man is right in his own eyes, Proverbs 21, verse 2, but the Lord pondereth the heart. He says in Proverbs 16, 2, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. There are generations. Proverbs 30 and verse 12 says, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and is that not washed from their filthiness. Deception. Deception. We talked about it in verse 22. Not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The deceiver is the one that hears the word and is not a doer because he doesn't remember what he saw himself to be. He's self-deceived. Again, what we talked about at the conclusion of last week's lesson in James 1:22. The hearer who chooses not to be a doer, looking in that mirror, forgetting what he saw. People simply choose not to see themselves in a way that will bring about change. Staying with the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 5, beginning at verse 20 and going through the end of the chapter, which is verse 31, says, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say there in their heart, let us now fear the Lord, our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the later. In his season, he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things. Your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are the houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit these things, saith the Lord? Shall I not my soul be avenged on such nations? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. They prophesy, the prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? Now combine what we've talked about. These same people are told, you can go into captivity and it will be to your good. I will bring you out of captivity and bring you back to this place, that place being Jerusalem. But they didn't hear that. They didn't want to see it that way. They didn't want to account for their sins. Remember what we read in chapter 44? Do you not remember the sins of your fathers and of yourselves? Nope. We've looked into your word, Lord. We didn't like what we saw. We choose to think another way. So what was the way that they thought? When Jeremiah said here in what I just read in Jeremiah chapter 5, where he points out to them things that are obvious, God set the sand on the coast of the sea, and it stops that great, large, powerful body of water from prevailing. God gives rain in seasons, appointed weeks of harvest. But what did we read in Jeremiah 44? Nope. Their way of looking at it is, we had good when we worshiped the Queen of Heaven. They chose not to see themselves or God for what He was. Listen, God's Word, if you look at it with that good and honest heart that we talked about when we looked at James 1 and verse 21, we talked about the parable of the sower, the Luke 8:15, good and honest heart. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says the Word of God is quick, and we talked about this verse then. It's living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here's the point. You look at God's Word, and it's like looking in a mirror. God's Word will reveal yourself to you. God's Word will tell you whether you are good or evil if you're a true hearer and a willing doer. God's Word will show us that. It will reveal that to us. But you know what? There are people that don't want to see it. And when they do see it, they want to forget what they saw. They don't like it. And they don't like the accountability that comes with it. They don't want to know. They don't want to consider. And they don't want to do. Nope. They're forgetful hearers. Now remember our context. It's hearers, but not doers. So we're not talking about people who just outright close off their ears. We're talking about people who hear and then walk away and don't do. There are those that will be pricked in their hearts and will react. They will do. Remember Acts 2. When verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly God hath made us, or hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And notice what they did. They didn't walk away. They didn't forget what manner of person they are. They heard that they're murderers. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then there was more preaching. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, here it is. Here's the hearer that is a doer. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Here are hearers that chose to be doers. Well, what about those on the flip side of that, that are hearers and they're pricked in their hearts, so to speak, but they take other action? You know, there were, in Acts chapter 6, there was a problem. Remember, the saints at this point in time that are in Jerusalem, who have obeyed the gospel, a number of them had come in Acts chapter 2 from all over the earth to Jerusalem for Pentecost. Those that obeyed the gospel and stayed were those that then did not have houses, They did not have sources of income, their crops or whatever it is, they didn't have to depend on. If you were to keep reading in Acts 2, all that believed were together, Acts 2:44, and had all things common, meaning they shared everything. Those that were there sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So this immediately makes all the saints needy, right? I mean, they're investing in each other. So in Acts 6, there was a problem where the widows that were from Greece were being neglected in the daily service, in the daily ministration. Nobody's looking after these widows. So the apostles are busy. They're teaching. They're carrying out God's work. To serve tables wasn't their work. So they gave the instruction to the people to look out seven men that were of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, and those men would be appointed to that business. So among the seven that were chosen was a man named Stephen. As you come down in Acts 6, Stephen was full of faith, verse 8, and power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there rose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexanders, of them of Cilicia and of Asia, and they disputed with Stephen. Now they weren't able to resist the wisdom and the spirit which he spake, Acts 6 and verse 10. So you know what they did, similar to what they did to Jesus. They stubborn men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." They stirred up the people and the elders, and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. We heard him say, 'This Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us.' All that sat in the council looking steadfast on him saw his face that had been the face of an angel." When you come to chapter 7, the high priest want to know, are these things so? So he preaches, "Men and brethren, hearken." And he gives and delivers, and we know by the Spirit of God, a masterful historical lesson. And he preaches the history of the law of Moses. And he teaches what happened in their past and reminds them of what was to come, what from what had happened. Looking back on their history, teaching them about the sins of the past, going all the way down to Solomon, and pointing out that Solomon built that temple, and it wasn't the temple that Solomon built had been destroyed as well as one reconstructed after that. This is now, a third reconstruction of the temple that they're worried about and charging Stephen with. And Stephen, just reminding them of the history of the truth, points out that the Most High doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, Acts 7 and verse 48. Pointing out that heaven is God's throne and the earth is his footstool. And he's just quoting what Solomon had said. I mean, he's just given them a masterful history lesson, teaching them the things that as leaders among God's people, frankly, they should have known. And then he brings it to the application. He says in Acts 7:51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did," calling upon that history lesson he just gave them, "so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you've now been the betrayers and murderers. Now listen. What's going to happen from here? He points out, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it, that they were the ones to whom the law was given, but they were the betrayers and murderers of Christ, of whom the law and the prophets spoke. Are they going to react by being pricked in their hearts, like we read in Acts 2:37, at being called murderers, and ask men and brethren, what shall we do? I mean, they're going to get cut to the heart. What's their reaction going to be? Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. But they don't ask, what shall we do? It says they gnashed on him with their teeth. He's like, they grated their teeth. They bit, they chewed. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice, not saying, Lord, what shall we do? No. They stopped their ears, so they've been hearers. Well, what are they doing with what they heard? They ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. The witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, fell asleep. He died. When you keep reading, Saul was consenting to his death, Acts 8 and verse 1. Keep reading. Persecution rises up against the church. They're scattered abroad, Acts 8 verse 4, which, by the way, brings us back to the book of James. These are the events that led to these saints that we're reading about being scattered. Being cut to the heart. The forgetful hearer is not a doer. He sees and doesn't want to remember. The offense that should lead to change leads to other things. They go their own way. They neglect. They forget what manner of person they saw in the mirror of the Word of God. It's the builders that reject, right? Consider that. Last week, I brought up Luke 6:46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, do not the things which I say? You can keep reading. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and do them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the steam beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was found upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. Immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So what we read in Matthew 7:21 through 27 last week. Here, Luke's account, a little briefer. But the point being, why aren't you doing what I say? You're not building in the right way. What you're doing is an essential waste of time. The hearer that hears, does he have an obedient ear? That language is used in Proverbs 25 and verse 12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Not ignoring what you see and what you hear, even if you don't like it. You know, Proverbs 30 and verse 20 talks about an adulterous woman. And it's interesting to think about what is said there. It says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I've done no wickedness. Think about the dishonesty that is there. The lack of integrity that is seen in that forgetful hearer. I want to draw your minds to something that probably most people are familiar with, and it would be a really long read if I got into all of it, so I'm not going to read it all. But I just want to draw your mind to 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. And we'll just just quickly summarize what happens in chapter 11, where David sees a woman bathing on a rooftop, washing herself, and she was beautiful to look upon. That's 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. So he inquired after the woman, and he sent messengers, brings her to him, commits adultery, and Bathsheba, that woman, conceives and is with child. So what David does is he sends for Uriah, her husband, who is a Hittite, and wants him to be brought home from war to go in and unto his wife. Uriah was an honorable man. He would not go in unto his wife. David wanted to conceal his act of adultery, because if Uriah goes in and sleeps with his wife, then it may be perceived that the child is his. When Uriah refuses, David then decides to send him to battle, put him in harm's way that he'll be killed. Joab does so, brings a message back to David, and he's dead. After Bathsheba hears what happens and mourns the death of her husband, the chapter concludes that when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife and bare him a son, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So in chapter 12, the Lord sent, now I'm just going to start at verse 1, because here is the application to James 1, 23 and 24. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said to him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man and spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. So look at David, right? He hears Nathan the prophet, and he has an indignant judgment on the man that took something that didn't belong to him when he had his own. David had multiple wives. He had plenty of opportunity to satisfy his sexual desires from within what was his own household, but he went and took what belonged to another man. David says, he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. So death and fourfold repayment. Wow. David, have you forgotten what manner of man you are? Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain them with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall not depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, Take away thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. By the way, you know what happens to David? Absalom, his son, does exactly what God said is going to happen to David. God said, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born of thee shall surely die.
And so God's judgment is given. But the point is this. David was a forgetful hearer. He forgot what manner of man he was. He's like the adulterous woman that eateth and wipeth her mouth and said, I've done no wickedness. Here's a question for you. When you look into God's word and you see what you don't like, do you walk away not considering who you are and whose you are? Or do you make the appropriate changes? In the context of the book of James, this is a big problem. Like we read last week, he's going to talk to them about keeping the whole law, about how faith without works is dead, because this people, based upon what we're reading, that profess to be God's people, are hearers and not doers. And listen, they're suffering persecution for the name of the Lord. Their faith is being tried. They're on the run. And still forgetting what people they are. How many folks are out there that sit in seats on the first day of the week to worship the Lord God the way we see in Acts 20 and verse 7? Who partake of the Lord's Supper. And you know, part of partaking the Lord's Supper is self-examination. Right? 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29 says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We're supposed to examine ourselves. But what about the person that examines themselves and walks away forgetting what they saw in the mirror? What about those people that say and do not? For example, you know, 1 John chapter 3 and chapter 4 talks a great deal about brotherly love. And brotherly love is not just looking at your brothers and sisters in Christ and saying, I love you. In fact, one of the applications that is given in 1 John chapter 3 after Cain and Abel are talked about, a little bit further down in that chapter, verse 16 through 18, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do we know God loves us? Because of action, not just because of words. He goes on, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Remember what we read last week in James chapter 2. We're talking about faith and works. How if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give not them things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, dead being alone. If you have this world good and see if your brother have need, shut up your bowels. How dwells the love of God in him? He says, my little children, 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You have to be a hearer and a doer. Not forgetting what you see in yourself that needs correction. In 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? How does that fit into our lesson?
because the hearer who is not a doer deceives themselves, and they forget what they see. James 1, 22 through 24. So that they don't do, and thus they're dishonest with themselves, with our Lord, and with others. It's not about lip service. It's about doing. It's about action. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't choose to know the truth, do nothing with it, and think you're right with God. You can't convince yourself that what you saw in God's Word isn't really your reflection. If you are sinful, you have to allow God's Word to work. When you are the man, you have to see it. Because in many cases, you're the only one that's going to know that. Someone else can't point out to you what they don't know. Thus, whether it is through your own private study or someone teaching you, when you see that you don't measure up to God's standard, don't walk away forgetting what manner of man you are. See and do. Be honest. Be obedient so that you might be saved. That is our lesson for today. I hope it's been thought productive for you. I thank you for the opportunity to deliver it. As always, if I can be of aid to you, I will tell you God's word and will help you see yourself for what you are. If you'll be honest with me, I will tell you the truth, and I will not at all be unclear in doing so, that you might be saved. Let me help if I can. If all goes according to plan, I will be back on Sunday. Until then, I say goodbye.